Good morning.
Good morning.
You can do better than that.
Yeah, right?
Come on.
Like you were asleep.
Yeah. No, I'm just kind of out of breath because I gave that song my all. So I'm just trying to catch my breath. I apologize for that. Is Hilltop ready to do our declaration?
Yes.
Amen.
Are we going to decree and declare? I'm ready. I'm more than ready. I don't know what it is in me, but this gets me fired up. Because I'm going to declare and decree that I'm free this year.
Amen.
That is the battle. You know, it's got to go. It's just that mountain of the battle has to go. You speak to that mountain, it's got to go in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to, that's my declaration for this week. That battle's got to go.
Amen.
Declare to my children these words daily and watch and see how fast I show up for thee. I want to stop there because, you know, that's powerful in itself. Mm-hmm. That's God promising his children he's going to show up for us. It's whether or not we believe it. Do we believe it with our whole heart or do we believe it half-heartedly? Do we just stick it in our brain and say, okay, Lord, yeah, you said this. Or do we really make it our heart cry, our battle cry, is what God's been speaking to me. So let this be your battle cry for the year of 2023. 2023 is a year to be free. I want everyone to say it together with us. We're going to raise the roof here. We're going to let Satan know the battle is done, that he is no longer in our life in 2023. So I'm going to repeat it, and y'all are going to say it together with me. 2023 is a year to be free. 2023 is a year of glee. 2023 is a year of prophecy. 2023 a year to end what you see. 2023 is a year of great victory. A year of great prosperity. The year of 2023 is a year to be free. We call it in. We call in that freedom. Freedom from sickness, freedom from lack, freedom from being our families being divided, freedom in our lands, freedom from tyrannical governments, freedom from all of the things the enemy has used to hold us captive. Father God, we call in that freedom. For we are free in our spirits, we are free in our souls, we are free in our bodies. We are free socially, we are free in finances to serve you in all of your ways. This is a year of 2023, a year to be free. 2023 is a year for me. It's a year for you guys too. We call it in everything we have been standing for, everything we've been believing for. All of these things that have been discouraging us, all the things that look totally impossible, we say no in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
That mountain has to go in Jesus' name. This 2022 year is a year for me. Make that personal. I thank you, Father God, that everyone in this room and everyone on the podcast that is declaring this decree right now, that you, Lord, will touch them by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage them and to show them, Lord, that you are there for them, that you will show up for them. So, Father God, I thank you for everything that we have been standing for, everything we've been believing for. We take it in this year of 2023. We are calling it in by faith, all of those things that the Almighty God wants us to have. That's our right as sons and daughters of the Most High King. 2023 is a year of freedom. So we take every situation in our lives, and we call it forth. Thank you, Father God, that you are turning it around today. Today is February 5th. So we're calling it in for February 5th of 2023. That is today.
Yeah.
And this is a year that we're going to see your glory. We want to see more of your glory. We want to relish in your glory, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's our battle cry. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles today, let's turn to Psalms 132, the eternal dwelling of God in Zion. Before I read this psalm, I want to share what I said earlier today about being in the presence of the Lord. It's like you got to value that. If you want things to really change in your life, you got to value that. You have to really press in and if the Lord has taught you how to do it, you just have to act on it. And I believe that the psalm was Psalm 132, that David valued the presence of the Lord. Verse 1. Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Almighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, and he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant, and my testimony shall I teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow, and I will prepare a lamp for my anointed, that his enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself a crown shall flourish. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Karen, there were so many words that you said that is what the Lord is saying today. From him being the light, from him giving us oil, it was powerful. It really fit. And I know that the Lord had to give you that.
Yes,
he did. Yeah. And so, are you ready for the word?
Amen.
I am. Hallelujah.
Our ready word for
sometimes
today.
Sometimes it's hard, you know, like the songs that we've been singing, you know, they're so full of the Lord, you know. And there are some times when you can just praise and worship the Lord and we get to a message. But I would like you to turn to Isaiah 60. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you anoint me, Father, to give the word that you want to go out. And Father, that the words that will come out of my mouth will glorify your name. And whatever I have written down here, Father, if it's not to be spoken, Father, you don't want it spoken yet. Father, I just ask for it to be gone. Just put it into my eyes that I can see that. But Father, I love your word. I love your presence this morning. And I ask for your anointing to flow today. In your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There's a new sound that is being released. And I said that, I think, last Sunday. And it's being released in the earth. But you have to tune your spiritual ears to hear that sound. When Karen made the comment about hearing the shofar, the Lord will give you different sounds to hear. There was a period of time when a whistle was blowing, and that's in the word. There was a time when the bells were ringing. We've talked about the lion stepping and moving on the earth, and you could feel the earth vibrating. You know, you might think that's way out there, but it's all scriptural. And there is a sound that is going on, and people that are tuned in are going to hear him. And to my amazement, I'm surprised how many people really still have fear. They dwell in fear. They're scared of this. They're scared of that. And I just want to encourage you that constantly the Holy Spirit is saying, do not have fear. I don't really feel that, you know, I preach doom and gloom, but I think there's a lot of things that are coming up, being exposed, and we might not understand it all. And in fact, I think it has awakened his people to see how evil really things are. But we really have a hope in Jesus. And that needs to be in us. It needs to be a part of us. It needs to be a part of our being. And I heard that from the Lord. He was saying, let the sound of my spirit move on you. You got to ask for it. You got to want it. It's just like, you know, next week we're going to be talking about love. There are lots of people that want to be loved, but you have got to want it so bad inside yourself, you're willing to reach for it. And it's the same thing with the sound. It's there. He's not going to change his plan, but he's asking you to join with him, to hear the order. And what is really powerful, when the Lord allowed me to share that, I don't know what it was, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't even know. What the Lord kept on saying is he's trying to get his army, his remnant army, in alignment with him. And he's given us a lot of different, what I call tools. Some people call them weapons. The Word of God calls them weapons. But, you know, it's like you have to take that anointing oil and you have to have a refreshing of the anointing. You have to take the things that he's given to you and re-anoint those things. And I really believe that with all my heart. You know, it's like the Lord kept on bringing to me about those 10 virgins, and they all knew them. Just like everybody in here knows them. I'm not talking to people who don't know them. But what he showed me is that you have to put fresh oil in there. You have to be willing to put that fresh oil of the Holy Spirit in there and trim those wicks and keep them filled up. And truthfully, I thought it was kind of hilarious, but this is how the Holy Spirit works for me or helps me. Is, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, when the storm came and it was really cold and stuff and lots of people were losing electricity. In fact, when we came in here, was it Saturday, Joe? You know, I had to reset the Wi-Fi 3 different times. People were losing internet all over. I don't know if it was just a cold. I just don't know if the pipes were... I don't even really know. But that's from the airhead when it comes to that. But What is so important was the Lord was showing me, even the oil lamps, I have two oil lamps, and they're in my china closet. And for the young people, I don't know what china closet is, but it's where you kind of stash all this garbage that's been passed down for years. the Lord said, when was the last time you changed the oil in your oil lamp? And I thought, before. That's got enough oil in that. And the Lord was showing me how important that is to have fresh oil in there so it burns correctly. And I don't even know why I'm saying that this morning, except the Lord is saying that some of you are in your same routines every day, and He's wanting to put that new fresh oil in you so that you're going to burn brighter than you've ever burned before. Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. But the Holy Spirit showed me that He is moving, and that one song we sang in the city, you know, right here in the church, in our nation, in ourselves, the Holy Spirit wants to move. And I really believe that He wants us to release His word. And the word, this Bible, is light. There's an answer in here. Sometimes I'm so amazed, truthfully, in all the years I've known the Lord might give me something to study, and I'll go, oh, I never saw that before. It's been there all along, right? But, you know, it's living. The word is living, and I just don't take it lightly. And so the Lord placed on my heart that we need to arise and to shine. And I don't know if it's up here, I guess it is. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Not just me, you. And I think that is so powerful that when we read that, the second verse says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now, unless you're asleep, there's darkness all around us. But when the light is shining so deep within us, it dispenses that darkness. And some people are willing to listen and some are not, but that's not your call. Your call is to be the light. The work is the Holy Spirit. And then it says, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. That's bright. And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. Now, why I think it is so important to hear the word of the Lord is because the more you get in His presence, the more you spend time with Him, the more that light is a part of you. It's a part of your temple. And I heard the Lord say that wherever you walk into, there's healing. He doesn't just... He's not a respecter of people. There's healing when you're in His presence. I love that. I just really love that. And it also said that how the atmosphere is so different. Now, this is what I want to tell you and to encourage you with. You can be so on fire and things are great here on Sunday and everything, and then you go home and it's a living hell. I'm sorry, it's a living hell. And you go, why did this happen? You know, you have to press in. You have to bring that. It has to be inside of you so that you can take that wherever you go, whether it's to your home, whether it's to your job, wherever it is. And I really want to encourage you with that. The more you draw to Him, the more you spend time with Him, the more He increases that light inside of you. And I really believe that the Word is so powerful. But there are many people that memorize the Scriptures, but they don't do anything with it. When you memorize the Scripture, when it's a part of you, you can give it out. It's like another tool to use. And of course, it should be the number one tool to use. And I heard the Lord say, lift up your voice and speak for me. Everybody in this room has something to say. Everybody in this Word should have some way that you can encourage someone else. And He said that my Spirit will echo from you and pierce the darkness and the despair because you have allowed me to be a part of you. So it's got to come out. The voice has got to come out. And the Lord told me to read that again. Revival happens in probably, I don't know how else to say it, probably in the worst times. It's just not all hunky-dory, as kids would say. It's like crazy. When that revival comes, people are really set free. And it's not a man-made thing, the revival. It's when the glory of the Lord has the permission to fall. And I gave this declaration, it's a harvest for souls. And I said at the house of prayer that my personal prayer is I'd like to see stadiums full of people who are hungry for the Lord. And that the glory of the Lord would fall. Man, you're just being a vessel there for the Lord. But the glory goes to Him. And in that glory, people are healed, set free, delivered. I don't know how else to say it. But that is my personal hunger that I've had forever coming up to this northern region. Not to see restaurants and bars and football game stadiums. You know, when I see that, I can't help. There's something inside of me that I just go, oh, wouldn't that be powerful? Because I've seen that happen. I've seen His glory. I was trying to think of the number, and I can't make it 3 or 4 times literally, so I can talk about it. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen arms grow out. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I have. I've been a part of it. And I remember in Flint at Atwood Stadium, which is no longer there, but they had a revival that took place there. People came to that stadium. It was full. It was full of His presence. And there was like a change that took place at Atwood Stadium. I saw people healed. I saw all kinds of things take place. And what I'm trying to say to you is I really believe it's coming. And I always say to the Lord, how long, Lord? How long? And the Lord woke me up. Not for sure whether it was Friday or Saturday, but He said, there's a battle for my glory. And I thought, a battle for your glory? Really? He said, decisions have to be made with everybody that's even here at Hilltop Tabernacle. Do you want to see the Spirit move, or do you want religion? Do you want to be able to come in, leave in an hour and go, or do you want to be in His presence, so filled with Him, you're not worried about the clock, you're not worried about time, you're not worried about anything, you just want His Spirit to move upon you. In my time, I remember Sunday morning services. I remember Sunday night services. I remember getting there Wednesday and being in prayer or a Bible study or whatever. Then on Thursdays, I had choir practice. And you might kind of like say, well, wasn't that really busy, busy, busy? No, we were in the presence of the King every time we did it.
Amen.
Amen.
To soak in His presence, there's nothing like it. I don't know about you, you need to have a place in your home, wherever it is, it's not for me to say, where you meet with God. Where you spend time, you go in there and you just know that He's going to meet you there. And one of the gals that was at this house of prayer said, well, you know, I prayed for 2 hours in the Holy Ghost. And I went, me too. I don't think anything was speaking in tongues for 2 hours. I can do that. I can worship Him for 2 hours. And it wasn't that someone was saying, it wasn't like you were trying to show off, hey, look at me, you know, I prayed for 2 hours in tongues. That wasn't the point. Somebody raised their hand in defense and said, I'm lucky if I can do it for 15 minutes. There was another person that says, well, I don't really pray in tongues, I blah, 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 blah. What I'm trying to say to you is this. When you get in His presence, and if you have your heavenly language, He's hearing from heaven what you're supposed to be doing, or He's hearing from you totally different, and He can speak back to you. The enemy has no power and authority in interpreting tongues. None. He can't even be in the presence like here in this sanctuary. If you prayed against it and you're calling out the name of Jesus, they want to flee. They don't even want to be by you. So this is what I want to say to you. By the Spirit, if you can only spend 15 minutes, then spend 15 minutes. If you can spend an hour in the presence of the King, spend an hour. If it means that you have to get up a little bit earlier than your schedule, then do it. I'm saying that this is the time not to play church, but to be the church. Amen. And allow your temple to be full of Him.
Amen.
I'm really serious. And I, like, there was a period of time when we talked about Psalms 91. There's no problem in getting in Psalms 91, Psalms 23, whatever the Lord leads on your heart, and you're saying it, you're declaring it, you're believing it. But ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten each one of those scriptures to you. And He will. What does it mean for the glory of the Lord to come? I mean, I can explain that to you. The glory is coming, and we are to be prepared. And you have to decide whether you believe in the glory or not. And I desire that. I long for that. Every Sunday before I get here, I say, Lord, let your glory fill this sanctuary. So if I'm up here flagging, I'm not doing it for you to, oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, isn't that nice? No. When you're doing the flags or you're praising Him, or maybe you get a little loud in worship, I don't know. I want you to see the King. I want you to what a privilege it is to know Jesus. He's so real. He's so loving. He's so kind. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. Not to condemn us, but sometimes to convict us when something is out of order and wrong. I believe with all my heart that there is coming a separation where the Holy Spirit will dwell. I believe there's a big battle. There are some churches, and I'm not cutting down specific churches or pastors. I'm just saying that there are some that do not allow the Holy Spirit to flow. And He's got to flow. And He will dwell in those places, and glory will come. I believe that. There is a great battle happening with that right now. And I really believe that the Lord is saying that there's coming such a great outpouring that's going to come about. And He showed me that the light has already come down, but very few people take that light and let that be a part of them and give it out. He said, he sent the prophets. He sent the prophets. Do you know why? Because the church was asleep. And some people, right now there's even a battle and a, I'm trying to choose my word correctly, a cutting down of certain prophets because they don't believe that that person's really hearing from the Lord. And I want to teach you something from this pulpit. When you come against what God is doing, you're on dangerous grounds. It might not be something you like, and it might not flatter your spirit, and it might not be what you think is right. There is an answer in this word that will tell you whether something is right or wrong. And I feel like in my spirit that the Holy Spirit wants me to say, be careful what you say. Be careful who you come against. Be careful when you tread on someone who is not prophesying, but who has the call to be a prophet. Everything, I don't care what it is, people, is subject to the word of God. Everything. When someone gives you a word, you can take that word, pray about that word, and you will find two or three witnesses, the way I was trained, that would, like, I don't know how to say it right.
Confirm
to you whether it is of the Lord or not. And I really believe that the glory of the Lord is coming to different regions, to different areas, to different churches. The plan and his glory is God's, not yours and not mine. He's going to go where he wants. He's going to do what he wants and what is open to him to be able to flow. And I really feel like the Lord wanted me to share this. The Holy Spirit will show you what is true and not true. That's why we've talked about truth. It's hard when we're corrected about something. Because truthfully, I want you to know the Holy Spirit will correct you and it will be out of love. It won't mean that you have to hide underneath a chair. I'm really serious. I've seen that happen. I've seen people say certain things of correction to other people that is so condemning and so hurting and so, I don't know how else to say it, that, man, I ain't never coming back, so I'm just going to go to another church because, you know, I don't have to put up with that crap. And, you know, I can go in that church, be there an hour, and get out of there or sit in the back. There's a large crowd. No one will even know who I am. Well, sometimes when correction comes from the Holy Spirit, it's to help you so that you don't keep on doing that same mistake over and over again. And it's like my Joe always says, you got free will, do what you want with it. But from this pulpit, I'm going to tell you that we have to watch our mouth. We have to watch how we gossip. We have to watch how we condemn other people. And sometimes people will feel condemned and you didn't mean anything by it. It's just that they can't handle correction. So I just want you to hear that. I believe that the world, I might get shut off Facebook for saying this, but the world wants to stop the glory. They don't want that to happen.
That's right.
Got a one world economy, a one world government that's poking their heads up. And things are happening all around us that we're not even aware of. And until we get in that secret place, that place to be in his presence, how do you know what's going on? I'm sorry. The truth. When darkness keeps falling, will the church be ready to guide the people? The example that I heard that I shared was when 9/11 happened, I was still teaching at that time, and it was crazy, it was chaotic. And we had an emergency group of us that always helped out when a crisis hit. You helped other people, you encouraged them, you tried to take away the fear, you had 2,000 kids you had to do something with. I was in a building that had 2,500 kids. And there were 72 teachers, but we only had a team, maybe of 10 of us, that worked when a crisis happened. And I thought to the Lord, why are you bringing that up to me? I know that. And he said that when 9/11 hit, people rushed to the churches for approximately 3 weeks. But the church wasn't ready for him, because the church was in as much fear as they were in. Couldn't help them, wasn't teaching them not to have fear, that the Lord will get us through it, what's happening, and that's the only way I can explain it. Not as a doom and gloom preacher, there is darkness on this land. And if people can't come off the streets into Hilltop Tabernacle and know the light is there, words of encouragement, words to help them, then we're not ready. Then we're not prepared. I really believe that with all that I have, that he's wanting his people to be prepared. And you are selected for that. You are not here by chance. I don't believe in that. You have something by studying the word to be able to give to people when they come in. What are you going to do when the rush comes and all the chairs are filled with people that have pink hair, blue hair, thousands of tattoos? Do you know what I'm saying? They look a certain way. They might smell a certain way. I don't know how else to say it. Are you prepared to minister? Are you prepared to give them the word how there's hope in Jesus Christ? You might look at me like, wow, lady, you're way out there. But I'm really serious. Just like, you know, I wasn't part of the Jesus movement. But, you know, we're going to have things like that going on. And the people that the Lord's going to use are going to be people that you and I would look at and go, really? Lord's using that person right there to be up here on the praise and worship team? They could come up here and hit these all guitar notes, it would blow your mind. Because they've learned about the Lord, changed their heart, become what I call born again. Mm-hmm.
And
sorry?
And anointed by the
Holy Spirit. Yes, they'll be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Are we ready? Are we prepared? I really believe that right now we are in an arena of decision. When darkness keeps on falling, can we guide the people? And do we need to get new oil in our oil lamps? We need to know this word. That's why I will read a portion of this, and then the Lord gives me a sermon for it. Because if I don't ever mention scripture, something's wrong. And he also said to me, the word, his blood, his great name, we have to be saturated with it so that we can give it out. When I asked the Lord what he wanted me to speak about, he said, tell my church to get awakened, to arise and to shine, because they are royal priests. You are the son and the daughter of the Most High God, and we're here for kingdom purposes, nothing else. Salvation, souls, telling them about Jesus. There's even a call for intercessors to pray. And even, I cannot tell you how many people are so busy when we have prayer time that you can't shake yourself enough to get to prayer. I'm sorry. That sounds mean. I'm sorry. But you have to pray is very, very important. Intercessory prayer is important. I shared with a few people about what is actually going on. Don't even want to say it here from the pulpit right now. But what is going on right now 3 days ago in New York? Well, if you weren't in prayer and you weren't in the presence, you don't know what's going on. He wants you to be aware. Why? How to come against it. How to take authority over it. How to have your eyes open to what's happening. I believe that there is a call for harvesters to come forth and to go in the field, and the harvest is great and the workers are few. They're few. I just cannot tell you how many pastors I've heard them say from their pulpit, how many people are really coming to prayer meetings. I mean, even some of these larger churches, they might have like 10, 15 people come to prayer, that's it. Because they don't have that priority to be in prayer. Do you hunger and thirst for Him? His glory will come when we're hungry and thirsty for Him. I really believe that this is time for the bridal army. And what I mean by that is this is a time that the ecclesia, which is the church, gets in alignment, gets all their equipment anointed, and they're marching in order. Angels are being sent from on high to different areas. And when the Lord says, go, go there, turn here, are we hearing it? Are we hearing that sound? I believe it's happening right now. One of the things that the Holy Spirit gave to me, and I don't really know much about it, I'd have to ask my husband all this kind of stuff, but he showed me that his army, his army is like a military army. I thought, what is that? Yeah, I understand that. And he said that when troops get ready to move out, he said they take time to inspect their equipment. They pack, they assemble their supplies, they get physically ready, really, and mentally prepared for the battle ahead as they move forward in the land. So sometimes my Joe watches military movies. And to my amazement, I watch these guys with their guns, and they do these things to their guns, and sometimes they oil them up when they're doing this, and I'll say to my husband, what are they doing? And he said that you have to be prepared. That gun has to be ready. And if it's not clean and oiled and whatever, and the sight, the way it's supposed to be, it's not going to work correctly. So I said to the Holy Spirit, what does that have to do with us? And he said, unless you spend time in this word, unless the weapons that I've given you, such as tongues, you're not praying in tongues, if different things that I've given to you, declarations, declaring different things, if you're not getting this all assembled, you're not ready. I don't know about you, that really hit my spirit. So now, I think I'm a know-it-all. And Joe and I will be watching something and I'll say, well, why did the British do that? You know, why did the British just march forward? How stupid was that? That they didn't have shields and when they got off these boats, Joe will probably tell you what they were, and they got onto the land and everything, and people shot at them, the enemy, and they were dead. Why didn't they carry big, gigantic shields and walk with those shields and let the bullets hit those shields and stuff like that. And Joe just kind of looked over at me like, oh my gosh, I know he did. I don't think he had an answer for me. But this is what I want to say to you. Some of you have like hits in your armor, things that have happened in your life that's put a dent in your shield. And the Lord wants to bump that shield out. Bump it out. Bump it out so it's brand new again. And you have to oil that shield and you have to be full of Him. And it's just so powerful what the Lord showed me. And the best weapon that you could ever have is the Word. So when the enemy comes at you, I had someone that's sitting in this church right now who told me that when things get really hard and the enemy is knocking at the door, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to run with everything they got. And my comment to that person was, I'm going to run to the battle. If you are a warrior for Him, you're to run to the battle as He tells you to go forward, and He will prepare everything. Whether it's angels all around you, whatever. You have to know your identity and who you are. You're not, you're just visiting this world, people. You don't even live here. This is just temporary. You belong to the kingdom. If you're born again, you belong to the kingdom. We're just here to do some things the Lord wants us to do. You have to be able to separate from that world. You have to. Because I don't know how else to say it. Sometimes it looks really, really great. But sometimes you can be in dangerous grounds and you ain't supposed to be there. The Lord told me that as I was writing this, that He's given upgrades to our weaponry. Some will become larger, more powerful swords. I kind of laughed at that after I had that vision. Are being released. He said that if you are one of the people that pray, you are His praying ones, you need to concentrate yourself and to surrender everything. That sounds so good. It's so hard. It's hard to surrender everything. But I'm going to tell you that when you surrender everything, He'll take you through things and you'll look back, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, you'll go, geez, what was the big deal about that? You ever do that? I do. He's going to give us strategic warfare. There was a word that came from Denny to this congregation, I would say a month ago. And he said that he was given new strategies. We all have different calls. But we're to become one army. Strategies will be given. And like my Joe said, you have the free will to do what you want with it. Are you going to march and get in alignment with the Lord or do your own thing? The Lord showed me that there were more blueprints that were coming. Blueprints of where the enemy is and how we're to pray about it, or maybe He'll send you there. I really don't know. He showed me that some of us are just literally burned out. And we need to get energized by the Holy Spirit. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? That He's going to energize us. I had a friend, she drank those energy drinks all the time. You know, those are so bad on your kidneys. They're really bad. I remember the young people, how they used to drink that Mountain Dew because it gives you a sugar high so fast. It's like, gives you energy, but then you crash so bad. The only person that really truly has to energize you
is the Holy Spirit.
Hear me out. Hear me by the Spirit this morning. Come on. There's coming rivers of refreshing. When Joe and I moved up here on a permanent base, we came up here for 20-some years. But when we were up here on a permanent base and we started this church, one of the things I was like in shock about was how many people lived up here and never gotten water. I thought, really? I can't wait to get in the water. Fear. No one ever taught them how to swim or how to step in this or like, oh my gosh, you know. The fear. The Lord wants the fear to be gone. He wants us to trust in Him beyond our understanding. One of the things that the Lord showed me is that every person that was here today was a chosen people. You were chosen by the Lord. He also said that you are a royal priesthood. So you have the right to hold your head up high. You have the right to say that you're a daughter or son of the Most High. And you need to carry yourself that way. And when people come against you, just say, I'm a son or daughter of the King. Yeah, coming against who the kingdom that I represent. I've had that happen so much. But when you're in His presence, there's a wonderful light. So if you would just bear with me, because I know it kind of went a little bit longer. The Lord said, take up your keys. I don't know if that key, yeah, there it is. See that key right there, that black key I got right there? I keep it up here. Everything up here is symbolic of something. Something that the Holy Spirit has given to me, shown me in a vision, whatever. And He said, take up your key. Take up your authority. Stop backing down when the enemy comes against you. Learn how to bind and loose the enemy in Jesus' name. The reason we do decrees, hey, you know, Karen gets here and she goes, this is a decree for Hilltop. That means that you're declaring into the atmosphere those things. When you decree and declare, angels are listening. They take that and they take it up to the throne room.
That's right.
That's why decreeing and declaring is so important.
That's right. Yes.
The fourth thing that the Lord showed me is you need to pray. And the fifth thing He said is you need to move out. You blow it. We all blow it. Repent and get moving again. Don't live in that holding you down. The Lord said this to me. It was powerful. It was Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to do what? What are you here for? You're here to proclaim good news to who? The poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom. We sang two songs about freedom today. Because there's many prisoners that can't break through. Even us. You're to give recovery of sight to the blind. And you're to set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Luke 4. That's what you're here for. To proclaim the good news that Jesus is Lord. He is our hope. So part of our role, as royal priesthood is to carry out the work of redemption and restoration in Jesus' name. There are so many people that are brokenhearted, and not just people of the world. There are people that are brokenhearted that are Christians. The Lord gives us time to grieve. It's important to grieve when you've lost someone. But He can fill that grief with a joy that can come from Him and a shalom peace that only He can give. So it says that we are to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captive, to release the prisoner from darkness. What a joy. That's why I've left this up. What a joy to be priests for the Lord. Sons and daughters of the King, to talk about the kingdom. Those are priests. That's who you are. You need to hear that. Why? Not because you're special. It's because the Lord favors you. You are important to Him. Every person is important. So, the Lord is saying that He's looking for an Isaiah 60 church. Might kind of surprise you that way. But He's looking for the church. The people are the church, to be a lighthouse for your city, for your nation, and for anybody that comes your way. And this is how I'm going to finish it. He said that there's hope in Jesus. But you have to be grounded. That you have to keep your ears open and your eyes open for what the Lord is saying right now. He is saying that Jesus is like an anchor. And this is the only way I can explain this. I chuckled when I read this in the Word. When Joe and I have been out on the lake and the wind is really blowing, we throw out that anchor. And let me tell you, I've seen the wind literally still blow the boat. When the anchor is still in the water. And I'll say, well, Joe, maybe we need to get a different anchor. Maybe that's not the right anchor for this boat. Maybe a little up, always something. Joe just kind of looks at me. And what I'm trying to say is this. He is the anchor for our life. When you don't know what to do, you can just take your hand. He reaches His hand and hold on with everything you got. He's our hope. He's our anchor. And when we know that, we can give that, we can show that, I guess is the way to say it, to other people. And He also said this, that the Word is unshakable. His plan, what's going on right now? He's in charge. Stop worrying about stuff. Trust in Him. Let Him take you to a new level. I think that's pretty powerful. I wish someone would have taught me that a long time ago. I had a trust in Him. I knew Him. I walked with Him the best I knew. But He took me to a different level. He took me higher in Him. Saying, hey, Maria, you're right. That one anchor might not hold, but I can throw out another anchor. So the Lord said, abide in Him, in His Word. Get into alignment. Spend time in that Word. I really want to say that. And as you grow in hope, you can give hope to other people. And so what the Lord said to me was, favor comes when you spend time with Him. And people can see that fruit in your life. I know jealousy sets in. I know people get jealous over certain things. That goes right over my head. But I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit can transform everything in your life. No one, absolutely no one, can bring you the peace that He can bring. And I wish the Lord would have give me a sermon to talk about His peace. I heard Rabbi Kahn say that Jewish people always say shalom, shalom. And I thought, well, it's just kind of like saying, good morning, good morning. How are you today? And he said, there's a reason for it. Shalom is just saying gradually peace. But when you say it twice, shalom, shalom, that is the Lord placing peace on you. So when you hear someone that goes shalom, shalom, I want you to know it's sealed by the blood, His peace. It's the covenant. Is that not good?
That's good.
That's good. So, let's see what else the Lord said. which I think everybody knows here, that he is our strength. And the Lord is saying, get connected to the light, to arise and shine, and do the kingdom work he wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks for giving me that time. I just felt it was so important. I just really want you to even grow more than where you're at. I want you to spend that time. I can't make you spend that time. But there's nothing like it. I remember, you know, holding down a full-time job, being full-time in the church, being full-time on praise team, being full-time in the ensemble, being full-time in the drama, being full-time on Sunday night singing, leading the people. I still had time for my family, my husband, but most important, my Lord. Amen. So no matter how busy your schedule is, take time to be with him and allow that glory to come in and pray. The battle for the glory is so evident right now. So choose the side. Are you for the glory? Are you for the Holy Spirit? Are you for him and what he wants to do? Or do you just want to be part of religion? This is the way it is. This is the law. No freedom. Your choice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this word today. Father, I just ask right now that you help people to understand and know it was a lengthy. But Father, I ask right now, Father, that the Holy Spirit will speak to everybody that's in this place. Everybody will be touched by you, Lord, that they will grow stronger, that they will get new oil, they will have new fresh anointing. Father, that they will press into you for an answer to their life. And Father, I pray right now, Father, that you get us in alignment. You get our weapons where they're supposed to be, greased up, whatever, Father, that we are prepared, we are packed up, we've practiced, we've done what we know to do. And I thank you and praise you for what you're doing here at Hilltop. In Jesus' name.